What's up, everyone? I'm Tori.
And I'm Anissa.
And this is MTV's official challenge podcast, where we go behind the scenes of the challenge, Spies, Lies, and Allies.
We have an extra special podcast episode for you because we are celebrating the release of the challenge's 500th episode. It's insane. Woo! It's insane. 500 episodes.
Dude, it's crazy. And it's great because we get to talk to the man that literally started it all. 500 episodes ago, John Murray, the creator of the challenge, will be coming on the show for an exclusive interview. I'm so excited.
I mean, he's like the real father of reality TV. So this is going to be absolutely amazing. I haven't seen John or talked to him in forever. So I cannot wait to hear what he has to say.
Yes, let's get right into it. All right, Anissa.
No, she's not home.
Yes, she is.
It's so crazy. She left.
Well, whoever's filling in for her.
Nope.
It's the 37-second time bomb in honor of it being the 37th season. You're lucky it's not the 500-second time bomb in honor of it being the 500 episode. So why don't we just look at the bright side?
And I mean, I could actually give in more information in 500 seconds than 37.
That's true, but that's not what we're working with right now. So no. Are you ready? In three, two, one, go.
Okay, Nelson's really pissed that Kyle took a spot on the team and then puffs at his chest and they kind of like get crazy like two rams about to fight. They don't fight, they just argue. And then, okay, we go to the challenge and they have money bags and they got to get across the field and tackle each other and do a whole bunch of shit and there's a little bit of smoke and whatever. You know, the real smoke was the Emerald team. They smoked everybody. They got so much money across their line. I love when people started tackling each other like crazy people. That's what I love about the show. Anywho, moving forward, Bettina's like, throw me down. Everybody doesn't throw her down. Instead, they throw Emmy down. Emmy then picks Bettina, where maybe she should have picked Yvette, but then we could talk about that later.
Done. Oh, that was great, Anissa.
Fucker.
Listen, you're a calm in a storm, girl.
You're a calm in a storm.
Dude, you're a lighthouse on a rocky shore. That's what you are. Because in the storm, you are just always there. Calm, steady, collected, 37-second time bomb. You killed it.
That's fine. Thank you for that boost of confidence, but I'm not taking any of those compliments seriously. All right. Play of the day.
Yeah.
I mean, Emerald team really, like, they kicked ass.
Body bags, dude. I mean, listen, the challenge was set up for domination if you had strong girls on your team because the girls were the ones who crossed the end line. So it came down to the girls. Because even if all your guys made it to the middle, if your girls couldn't make it to the end with the bags they came with, none of them counted. So we got lucky that
Back up.
Yeah.
So
I'll explain it again. So all of the guys, they started with bags and they ran to the middle safe zone, right? Where they handed off their bags to the girls.
Oh.
And then the girls, and so the points wouldn't count until you make it all the way to the end of the girls. So technically, even if the guys made it to the girls section, if the girls didn't make it with the guys' points, then they didn't count anyway. So this game came down to strong girls for sure.
Yeah.
Which is why we got really lucky because we have, I mean, in my opinion, the three strongest girls. Ashley's also very strong. She's a great competitor. I'm not saying she's not. But we had a stacked
and
lineup.
Emmy's Nani, strong, Casey. Too.
Yeah. And Emmy's strong, too. Absolutely. There are girls, but we had a strong lineup. It wasn't just like an individual. So I got to give it to, yeah. I mean, thank you for giving it to Emerald because honestly, I'm proud to be Emerald. Emerald for life.
Yeah. I mean, every time I watch this, I wish I was there. You know, this is a challenge I feel like I really would have loved to do once again.
Oh, nobody would have taken you out.
I mean, they could have put their hands on me, but
wait, what if we give play of the day to Big T tackling Ashley? Because I think Big T's an underdog.
Dude,
no one knows how strong Big T is.
She's strong. Yeah.
She's freaking strong.
She is.
She's got strength.
Yeah, she definitely does. And
it took three of us to get those bags off of her when we were playing defense.
I think that she was like pretending it was a Louis Vuitton bag that she just bought. She was like, you guys aren't taking this from me. But she does have great upper body strength. It builds really like her muscles build so fast. So I know that that was one thing she was working on. But like you were not getting that out of her hands.
No, she's a beast.
Yeah.
She is. She deserves some credit.
I love it. Dirtiest Deed was just, I mean.
Do you think it's Amanda heating up that argument between Emmy and Bettina?
Possibly.
To get herself out of elimination? Or walking around in Emerald, threatening to switch to Emerald? I feel like, I mean, it was strategic and smart, and it was good for her game, but
right.
But it wasn't necessarily the cleanest.
Yeah, it wasn't the cleanest deed.
It wasn't the cleanest. I'm not saying she's a bad person for it. It's all strategy.
No, this isn't about dirty deed. Doesn't mean you're an asshole.
Yeah.
Best political move is a dirty deed, according to our definition.
For sure. That it was
so the for best, her. Yeah. That was a great strategic move to get the heat off her ass.
And it worked.
Because Emmy literally said, I'm going to pick a vet so that there are still rookies left, which I think would have been smarter. No offense to the vets, but like it would have been smarter. Because then Emmy, I mean, even though Emmy's a beast and I don't think the girls that are left really want to go against her.
Yeah.
But you also, you know, it's easier for people to vote her in.
Yep.
So if she left another person up there with her, she would give her another week.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
That was CT's advice.
Just an idea.
Yeah. I mean, it was good advice. I think ultimately what I respect about Emmy, and I love Bettina too. Like, I think Bettina's mm-hmm. a great person. But what I respect about Emmy is like when she had beef with somebody, the only person she really beefed with was Bettina. She kind of called her out and was like, all right, let's finish what we started. So it's interesting, but let's go into the mission because it was badass. Like you said, Nisa, you wish you would have been there. I wish you would have been there. It was awesome.
Yeah. I love tackling.
Yeah.
I'm a big tackler.
Let's give Josh some credit for that stiff arm to Kyle because everybody says Josh
push him right out of the way.
Everyone says Josh doesn't have agility. That was super agile.
Like, see you later, Kyle.
Yep.
See you never.
Yep.
Definitely gave him a little confidence boost. I love that. I love that for people who aren't, like, expected to do well and then just shit all over people.
Everyone wants the underdog to do well.
Mm-hmm.
And what about the Tom Brady, right? Let's talk about Logan. He's got that hurt hamstring. He walks out with the bags, pump fakes, bop, 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 brat, right to Corey in the end zone. Unfortunately, they're in the end zone.
He's out.
Yeah.
But what's crazy is that Logan was like, I want to learn American football. The minute he did, he was amazing.
I
go
know.
Fucking figure.
Yeah.
And then he used the skills he learned at the house.
Right.
For the challenge. Yeah. I mean, way to go, Logan. I mean, good. A for effort.
Legendary.
A for effort, Logie Bear.
Yeah. So I think all the boys did great. I mean, it was interesting to watch them play. And then obviously it came down to the girls. And Nani did great. She tracked Emmy first. And then I come through and just, bam, put her on the ground. But Nani grabs that first bag out of Emmy's hand. And then we get it out of Big T, but it takes three people to get it off Big T. I mean, I think other than that, like, it was an intense game, but it was a lot of fun. And ultimately, Emerald wins again. So we're 3-0 right now, feeling pretty good.
Yeah, somebody needs to come infiltrate that team.
I know that's what you want, but that's not what I want.
No, I don't want it, but viewers want. I mean, if I'm a viewer now, I'm not looking at this as a challenger anymore because I'm not right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at it like I want to go where the winners are.
Yeah.
And
it could happen.
Like, fuck infiltrating. I want to win the challenge. Like,
right.
I'm coming into your team.
100%.
Because they would 100% do it to me.
Exactly.
So if you don't think that way, like people are like, I'm just not going to infiltrate, you know, like I get it. I would say that to get myself out of, you know, to get myself into elimination if I needed to so I could pick my opponent. Be like, don't worry, if I win, I won't come to you and then just come.
Listen, I'm not going to give away any spoilers, but I can tell you that it's going to get interesting for sure. And tensions are going to get really high.
Listen, this whole season has been a switcheroo.
Yeah.
People are getting injured. People are going home. People are losing in eliminations. Mm-hmm. Partners got switched. Teams are getting switched around. I mean, I expect nothing less than a bunch of drama.
Yep.
To ensue.
Yeah.
We're getting near the end of the game, you know? So it's going to be insane, and I cannot wait to watch it.
Yeah. And then, obviously, there's a lot of politics that happen after Emerald wins in the club. You see Amanda having that conversation with Bettina and then going right over to Emmy. It's very calculated. Emmy blows up on Bettina. So after that, Emmy decides that she wants to go into elimination after some, you know, talks with the Emerald squad cell. And she goes in and then she picks Bettina in this elimination called Bombs Away. And it's these, like, two huge rockets, obviously, and they're just flinging this thing. And it was huge, Anissa. Like, in person, I don't think it looks as big as it
No, it
does
doesn't look
on
too big.
It was massive. Like, huge. And I don't know how heavy it was.
These were the most interesting eliminations. I mean, these are things I've never seen before.
Yeah.
But I wish Bettina would have given herself a well, I just felt bad for Bettina because, one, I adore her. She's my lamb. But also, you know, you want people to root for you.
Yeah.
And as much as I feel people were just kind of thinking about their own games in that time and not realizing that, even though when you're down there, it sounds like silence, there are voices that you hear.
For sure.
You know, and when no one's cheering for you or helping you out or giving you strategy, that's hurtful. So yeah. Watching her, I'm like, if someone could just give her a better strategy, you know?
I think people were screaming, but, and like, I had cheered for both Emmy and Bettina at that point because I like Bettina as a person, but it made more sense to root for Emmy, and I was playing just as calculated of a game as possible. But, you know, Corey was also there rooting for Bettina.
I know.
And
I think, I'm just saying, I just wish she would have at least had like a fighting chance, you know? Like, you don't, I don't know.
Yeah.
I like to see shit that's like nail biters, like close games. Mm-hmm. Like, that's always fun.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, it sucks.
And so is total domination, I guess. So,
yeah, right.
I mean, this episode should be called Total Domination.
Right. Yeah. So obviously, Emmy wins. Bettina goes home. Bettina, don't worry. You still made Sweden really proud. You're amazing. We love you. Yes. And Emmy wins. And then Emmy switches with Amanda and goes to Sapphire.
I knew that was going to happen.
Now Sapphire's stacked. Like, they're stacked. They have CT, Ashley. Two champs, multiple time champs. You have Kyle, who's placed second and almost came in first. And then you have Emmy, who's rookie of the year. So this team is stacked. And I think Emerald at this point in time is looking over there like, oh, shit. Like,
we also have six players.
We do have six players.
Which may or may not hurt you in the future.
Right. We don't know yet.
I don't know what's going to happen, but I've, you know, been when you play on teams and team members leave and they're uneven amounts, especially going towards a final. You go into a final with uneven numbers. It can help you or it can hurt you.
Absolutely.
I mean, you've done it in Thailand.
Yeah. Yeah. And this game mirrored Cutthroat, right? And I think that there was a team in Cutthroat that only had two girls on it and they went to the final. So, I mean, I could be wrong on that, but I believe when we were in the house and we were trying to like, okay, where is this game going? Are we going to be running this final with uneven numbers? I mean, like you said, we've done it before. I did it in Thailand. So can we do it again? I mean, there was everything that you can possibly question, we're all questioning when we're in there. We don't know how it's going to unfold. And now knowing what I know now, I'm like, oh, man, it would have been a different game. But it's going to be really interesting. And I can't wait for you to see what happens. And also, I can't wait to talk to our guest on the show because we have an exclusive interview right now with John Murray. And if you've watched the challenge and you see Boonam and Murray Productions come up at the very end of the show, that's John Murray. Yeah. The Murray is John Murray. He's coming on the show. He started this whole thing. He's worked on countless shows, and it's going to be an incredible interview. And seriously, there's nobody better that we could have on the show for the 500th episode of the challenge. So take a short break, guys. We'll be right back with the incredible John Murray.
All right, folks, we have reached that time in the podcast that we love so much where we get to interview someone. And this isn't just someone. This is the person, the creator of Real World, Road Rules, The Challenge, Bad Girls Club, The Simple Life, the executive producer for Project Runway, Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I mean, just everything.
What a resume.
Welcome, John Murray.
Well, I'm happy to be with both of you, Anissa and Tori. It's a real pleasure to be here with you.
Thank you so much. I feel like I'm talking to God.
God's in retirement.
I love this because it's like I haven't seen you in 20 years, 19 years. When we went out to dinner in LA, it's just crazy. Did you ever think that from Real World that it would expand and be this huge thing?
Never. I mean, it's all from the beginning. It's just been sort of this crazy accident. It's none of it was really planned. It all just grew out of the fact that we had such incredibly interesting people on these shows, and we didn't want to say goodbye to them. So we had to keep coming up with new ways to keep them in our lives and in the viewers' lives.
Wow.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, me too. And like, almost afraid to see where it's going to go next, because Squid Games potentially, I don't know.
It's not, it? Nope, no, I don't want to do it.
I don't know. I see, this is what I see in the future. I see some show where all of the children that have come out of these relationships are playing games, and all of you are on the sidelines as the crazy parents.
100%.
I mean, yeah, it would be bad.
And then the kids all get together and somehow turn the tables on all of you.
Yeah. Bring it on. We probably deserve it.
Yeah, they probably would.
John, your credentials are just insane. Just like listening to that list of everything that you've worked on is wild. And obviously I'm on the challenge. So I just want to know, like, in your mind, what sets the challenge apart from all of these other incredible shows that you've worked on?
Well, I think the challenge is it's become a large family that you get to revisit each time as a viewer. And I think what sets it apart is that it's not just, you know, a competition show. It's a competition show, but it's also a soap opera, a real life soap opera, because people like CT and Anissa have been on this show for 20 years. Mm-hmm. We've followed their ups and downs in life. In some cases, we followed as people have married people they've met on the challenge, you know, and then divorced later. I mean, it is a real life soap opera in all the best aspects of that, in that you really get to know these people. You get to see how someone like CT grows over time. I mean, look at how he has changed and how rich his journey has been for all of us. I mean, so yeah, I think it has that element which no other show has.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. And then, I mean, I can't imagine, it's just the 500th episode of The Challenge. And that's insane. I want to know how many of those episodes I've been on, but it's just, I know it's crazy to be a part of it now. What is it like to watch the show now after seeing it for so many years, like from the beginning?
It's, you know, I watched every episode of it, watched, you know, rough cuts, gave notes, you know, I was on top of it for, I think the last one that I was directly involved with was the one that we shot in Columbia.
Dirty 30.
Oh, Dirty 30. That was a good one.
My first season.
That was a long one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it, you know, and then I started to, you know, back off, because there's so many gifted and talented people who work on it that we could really hand it off to the next generation of producers. And I don't watch it regularly just because I can only watch so much stuff. But my partner Harvey watches it. So I'll often like sneak in when he's watching it and watch just a little of it, just to see some of my favorite people, like Anissa, who I've you know, known for so many years, and just sort of see what they're up to. But it feels great. I mean, I when you think about all the crew people who have made a livelihood from this show, when you think of the cast members who have made a livelihood from it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Directly. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I'm a human thank you card to you. thank you so much.
Same. Yeah. It's incredible. I mean, like, and I'm sure, like you said, you obviously were so involved in it in earlier stages, and Dirty 30 was the last season that you were directly involved in, but you did get to watch this 500th episode. And so I'm wondering, was there anything in this episode that maybe particularly stood out to you? Like, wow, I can't believe it's taking this direction, or could you see it going this way?
Well, there's a lot more strategy involved than there used to be. I mean, the show is so much strategy. There's so much trying to figure out, like, you know, do I, how am I going to get onto this team, or who's going to, who am I going to push off, and how is that going to affect my overall standing in the game? And I mean, there's so much you have to think about now as you play this game, because, you know, if I was playing the game, I would be one of those people who'd want to see, be on sort of the down low. I'm a nice guy. I'm, you know, supportive of people. I try not to be fake.
Right.
Fake can, you know, fake can be bad too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would just be one of those people who tries to deliver in every game and not get too caught up in the drama.
Yeah.
So, but that wouldn't be good. I wouldn't be a good contestant because, you know, yeah, we want to be caught up in the drama.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there's that balance.
So if you were on the show, since you just explained what kind of player you would be, what kind of challenges do you think you would excel at?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a really good question. I mean, I think I'm sort of like a support player. I think I'm like, I'll take that person out so that you can score the goal. So I think I'm sort of a support player. And I think I'm sort of the person who in the strategy sessions would be sort of trying to think one step ahead. I'm watching Squid Games now, which, you know, you really have to think ahead on if that was real, because you're going to lose your life if you don't
get it right. I just let stuff happen there. I couldn't even think. I was just like, oh, this is all going to end badly.
Yeah.
So that's how I would be, I think. I'm not good at puzzles. So I would not want to be a puzzle person.
Really?
I just don't. Those would be tough for me. I hate the one. The one I hated the most was way back when, where you had to like stack these things in a certain order, and they would just tell you, no, you didn't stack it right. So then you'd have to unstack the thing and stack it again. No, you didn't get it right. You just keep trying to figure out the right order of the things.
Puzzles are the worst. They're literally my demise.
I love them.
I hate them. Yes,
Anissa, I know you're very good at puzzles.
I'd rather eat a puzzle. Like, put it in front of me. I'll eat the thing, please. Any way to get myself out of this.
You just have to find a good teammate who's good with puzzles.
Just get
CT and you're good.
Oh, for sure. So have you ever tested any of the challenges back in the day? Because I know some people who are producers now have done that.
Yeah, there were a couple that I wanted to test. But at the time, I guess the insurance money we were paying, it was not like you can just go test it, because we can't go spend another like $2,000. So you can just have fun testing it.
Okay.
Oh, so yeah, crazy. So I never really did get to test any of them.
Yeah. I mean, you were probably like precious cargo. They were like, yeah, John, we actually need you. So if you could not test this, that would be great. Okay. And we're just going to blame it on the insurance.
Yeah.
So I did have a fear, like every time I showed up for a challenge, it was like, I would always try to like stay really deep in the background, because somehow I had this one horrible experience at Battle of the Sexes in Jamaica.
Oh,
were you there, Anissa?
Yeah.
Or was that before you?
No, I was there.
And David Edwards and Puck Rainey got into it. Something happened, and somehow I'm like there, and I have to pull Puck off to talk to him in front of all the cast, or I pulled David off, and I learned a valuable lesson as a producer. Never like meet with a cast if you're like figuring out some discipline or anything in front of everyone else, because you will all turn against me.
It was, yeah.
You were like, you need to say, hey, David, hey, I just want to have a drink with you. Can you come over here? And then be out of eyesight, because you don't want to start like a war with the cast, because the cast will usually form together and push back. So it was very challenging, because like that one, like a lot of these things, it's, well, he spat at me and he did this this. And it's like, oh, yeah, yeah. How do I resolve this thing?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So as much as possible, I tried to be invisible when I visited the set, so I didn't get drawn.
That makes sense.
I forgot about that. Yeah. You had to stop our vans and talk to them. And it's crazy. I mean, it is a crazy position, I think, to be in. And also because the cameras and everything else were so hidden. You know, now we show more of them, but back then it was like, nobody's here. Right. It's just us.
Mm.
And then John pops up on the screen and you're like, wait, what's happening?
Oh, yeah.
I want to know how, I get it. Like, we had Real World, which I think was an incredible show, showing, I mean, just personal growth over over a short period of time. And then you had Road Rules, which was more competitive, but still showed that same kind of growth. I mean, you had these really interesting people. How did you get to the challenge from that?
It definitely was something that was an evolution. Your viewers may remember, or your listeners may remember, that initially we did something called Road Rules All-Stars, I think. Mm-hmm. And we had Sean and Rachel and John Brennan and Eric Neese, I think, and a couple others. And they went on this sort of Road Rules-like journey. Mm-hmm. And then that was a success. And then and it was really the first thing where we said, oh my God, there are these amazing people on these shows. And we don't want to say goodbye to them, and the viewers don't want to say goodbye to them. So let's come up with something how they can continue to be part of sort of the MTV family. And then from that, we said, oh, well, what about a real world Road Rules challenge? And we'll put them on two buses and they'll compete at different stops along the way. And then after doing that for a few seasons where it was like, oh my God, this is really tough having to set up every day in a different town and following them on buses. Let's just put it at like a resort or a house or put it somewhere. And I remember one of the early ones we did, I think in Telluride. Anyway, and that's sort of what became ultimately the show today. Initially, again, it still was Real World versus Road Rules. And then we'd add things like Fresh Meat to get more people, and you know, ultimately it's evolved into what it is today, where it's, you know, not only people from Real World or Road Rules, it's also people from, you know, British reality shows, Romanian reality shows,
yeah,
God knows, everywhere.
God, it's so crazy. How did you go about, because obviously this challenge formed because, like you said, there was such inspiring and amazing and entertaining people that created and that were on Real World. So how did you go about selecting cast members for the early Road Rules or Real World seasons?
Well, you know, when Road Rules came about, we would have the two showrunners at that time. I think it was Clay Newbill was the showrunner of Road Rules, and he now does Shark Tank. And there were a series, Matt Kunitz, a bunch of other people, eventually Jim Johnston, Tracy Chapman. There were a bunch of people who did show ran Real World. And we would do like a joint finals between Real World and Road Rules. And then it was like picking teams. It was like, you know, who was going to go on Road Rules, who was going to go on Real World, and sort of figuring that out. And, you know, and there were people some people we just felt like had such deep sort of emotional lives, such interesting stuff in their lives. And sometimes we sort of pushed them over more towards Real World because, you know, you needed to come in with a really sort of interesting stuff that had happened in your life, interesting stuff. Whereas with Road Rules, you had the games, you had the missions. So you didn't have to pull quite as much. I always used to think that, you know, it was easier on someone doing Road Rules than Real World because Road Rules was not quite as intensive, though it could become that, and it certainly did at times. Mm-hmm. But you always had, okay, enough of the personal drama, now we're going to do a mission. You know, whereas Real World was all personal drama.
Yes, it was.
And then, you know, as we started to have to cast for the challenge, there were just people who, you know, just aren't competitive, you know, and some of the early years we had some of those people on the show and they just came because they thought it would be fun. And, you know, and they weren't really, they didn't want to win. And as a viewer, you want to watch someone who wants to win, or you want to watch someone who's, I won't mention names, who's so smart at playing the game that they never put themselves out there. And somehow when it's a team competition, they end up being on the winning team and they have done nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know,
I'm gonna have to watch back to see who you're talking.
But and so they, you know, they had a strategy. Their strategy was just to like slide through. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but yeah. So you need people for the challenge who are in the game and who are playing the game. Mm-hmm.
Do you think audiences relate to reality TV cast members in ways that they can't with like fictionalized characters?
Yeah, I do. And I think going way back to Real World, there was, you know, when someone like Tammy Akbar at the time on Real World LA was found out she, you know, was pregnant. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't the right time in her life to have a baby. Mm-hmm. And her making that decision, that was very real.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like we wrote it, we scripted it. We didn't know that was going to happen when we cast her. So it was all very real. And it was interesting. We didn't get negative emails about it.
Good.
Because it wasn't something that we created. And you got that fascinating thing with John Brennan, who, you know, definitely comes from, you know, his viewpoint is abortion should not happen. But at the same time, Tammy was his friend and he was going to support his friend. Didn't agree with her, but he was going to support her. He wasn't going to scream at her as she like entered the clinic.
Right.
You know, I love it when you can take issues like that and you bring them down where, hey, we are all part of this same human family.
Yeah.
We have to love each other and support each other, even if we don't always agree with each mm-hmm. other.
God. And you know, it's so interesting, like hearing you talk about this, because I feel like you have obviously this overall look on everybody. But like, what do you think it would feel like to be one of the people who are exposing their lives like that? Like, do you think it would be difficult to be, if you were on a show, to like be as free and as open as some of us have to be?
Yes, because I'm a control freak.
Yeah.
And I don't want to give control up to anyone. I mean, right. that's what producers are.
Right.
And so, yeah, it would probably be good for me. It would probably be a real growth thing for mm-hmm. me, willing to put myself out there and sort of, you know, as I say, none of us are perfect. And in fact, the best cast members are people who are flawed.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, who have flaws. I mean, overall, they're good people mm-hmm. And you root for them, but they're not perfect people. And quite honestly, none of us are perfect.
Right.
And if you have a camera on you 24/7, we're going to see your flaws.
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah. You're going to see everything.
You know, as producers, we always try to also sort of contrast that with the good aspects of who you were.
Yeah.
And when you did something that was out of character or maybe didn't look great, we tried to understand why you did that mm-hmm. and hopefully see in the storyline that that's not just who you were.
Yeah.
It's funny, you know, sometimes people say, oh, reality shows, they always make people look bad. And I don't think that's true. I think we actually, as producers, If the viewers don't like you or want to invest in you, they're not going to come back week after week. So we, in some ways, sometimes we're actually protecting people a little mm-hmm. to make sure that we, yeah. when they do something that just feels like, oh, that's really shitty. Mm-hmm. We need to understand where that comes from. Mm-hmm. Like, are they doing it just because they're a shit? Or are they doing it because it's part of the game? Or are they going to get their comeuppance from somebody else for doing that? So we're thinking about those things when we edit these shows.
Mm-hmm. It's also, yeah, because a lot of people are like, I got a bad edit. And I truly like with Real World, because it's such a long show, sometimes I acted like an idiot. So like, it's not that you edit someone poorly. It's literally, this is what you did. So if you only give them bad moments, that's all you can show of a person. You know what I mean? So it's like,
right.
You can't edit things that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, and you know, we're not perfect. I mean, I think, you know, there have been times when I've looked back and said, I don't know if I would have edited it that way, knowing what I know now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But overall, I think, you know, the people who work on this show love you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, we spend so much time just like sitting in dark rooms editing and figuring this stuff out. You know, if we didn't love you, we wouldn't want to do it because it would just be too much of our time. So I do think that there is a lot of love that goes into the editing.
Well, thank you for that.
Next time I'm in an interview, I'm just going to shout out to the person. Hey, if you're in the dark room right now and you're watching this whole hour-long interview of me looking for good clips, just know I'm here with you.
I mean, yeah, I talk a lot. So, yeah, that.
Yeah, we appreciate people who are succinct and can give us the answer. And that's what's so amazing about the challenge is so many of you have been doing this for a while that you just give such entertaining responses. I mean, you know, You're very much true to who you are, but you know how to, like, in a way, you're sort of producing yourselves. You know how to give us what we need to tell the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The language of the show.
Yeah. And I'm also like, I probably don't want to explain this challenge today, but I'll do it. And I also don't want to be there for 3 hours. So I'm like, okay, how do I do this? How do I give them enough information and enough time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I love it. It's like therapy, kind of. Like, you get to leave the house for a moment and talk and feel free to talk about anyone and anything. And it's great. So I think that the interviews are such an amazing part of the show.
Yeah, they're also, they have nice production value. Usually you look good in the interview, which I think is always nice. So,
you've
been crawling around in the mud, or, you know, it's 110 degrees and you're sweating all the time. It's great to finally get to see you, like, looking yourself.
Yeah, that is nice to see.
Yeah.
What do you think the biggest hurdle was in the creation of this show?
I think the biggest hurdle was trying to get the balance right between the competitions, you know, the challenges, the eliminations. You know, you need to leave enough room for the interpersonal drama, the reality stuff. And I think that's always something you don't want to so pack the schedule that there's no time for people to have some fun, some off hours, you know, where you get some of that great drama that usually comes out of what's going on in the game, or sometimes then plays itself out in the game when someone acts like an asshole in the house,
right?
That can come back to hit them in the game. Yeah. So I think it's getting that balance right. It's really important to get the balance right.
Yeah. And you used to balance that out in 30 minute episodes, which are really like 22 minutes.
I know.
It's crazy. I don't know how we did it.
Mm-hmm. I actually missed the 30 minute episode. I mean, the Simple Life worked because it was 22 minutes long. Mm-hmm. It was just enough. It left you wanting more. I think an hour, I don't know if it would have worked. It wouldn't have been as good a meal.
Gotcha.
And I loved the, you know, back in the days when the Real World episodes were 22 minutes.
Yeah.
You just wanted more. And then it made them so bingy because it's like you, in a marathon, you just go from one to the next.
Yeah. It's like eating chips out of a bag. They're like bite-sized episodes. You can just really get
right. But the challenge, I don't think the challenge could be done in 30 now Yeah. And even now they don't always get both the challenge and the elimination in the same episode, because there's sometimes just too much to do all that.
Yeah. Right. Definitely. But when they were shorter, it was nice because you could just go like, oh, I have to go do something. I have 22 minutes to watch this. I also got to watch it beforehand.
Yeah, well, think about us. We have to give notes on the damn thing. So now they're doing those 90-minute episodes. Oh, God, my whole thing is gone.
Yeah.
I got to watch Tori and Anissa for a whole damn 90 minutes. I'm so
sorry. I mean, it could be worse.
Maybe not.
It could be two other people.
So obviously, you know, you've been in the Challenge family since the very beginning, and All Stars has been a really cool reintroduction of cast members who were on Real World from seems like eons ago, which is amazing.
Yeah. Okay, relax.
I'm a huge fan. No. I'm a fan. I love All Stars. I'm just curious if you have gotten the chance to see All Stars, or if you're happy that it's on, or that all these people are coming back. What's your take on it?
You know, it was just about Mark Long wanting to come back.
It really was. Mark's like, I got this big idea.
He had to go out and just help come up with a show to get back on the air.
I love Mark.
But, and he's amazing. He's still in great shape. He's phenomenal. I mean, people forget that Mark Long was on the pilot for Road Rules. And then when we were putting the series together, we recast, just like with Real World, we recast after doing the Real World pilot, we recast for Road Rules. And he wasn't initially going to be in the series, and we just kept looking at it. And then one of the MTV execs says, you know, I just feel we're missing something. We're missing that Mark Long person. And so we said, well, we could just put him in.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
He's so great.
Yeah, Mark's career almost came to an end. Never would have been seen because he was just on the pilot.
He's a great addition, I think, to the family, of just being like a stand-up guy, not in the bullshit, just like, this is me, this is it, diffuses, like, great at problem solving, great at staying out of the drama. He never gets in fights. No one's ever, you never mess with Mark, because he's just a good guy. And I think, yeah, I like having that.
Yeah. But yeah, no, so for it was really fun tuning into the first season of All Stars and seeing all those people. I mean, people who like are from my generation of the shows. You know, a lot of these new people from Britain and Romania or wherever, I don't know them, but they're amazing. Yeah. I can't believe they're such great reality contestants from those countries. And oh my God, I think they've really infused the show mm-hmm. in a great way. I'm sort of surprised how well it worked. Mm-hmm. But there have been some like real stars that have shown up there from across the ocean.
Like Emmy. Gems. Can we talk about Emmy for a second? What a legend.
She's in the making. She's definitely
I love
reality
her.
TV gold.
Straight gold.
Yeah, no, it's a great group. But back to the challenge. I was a little worried when I first saw that first episode of All Stars, where you had to go swim in this super cold water.
Yeah,
and, you know, those are those things where, you know, they test out the challenges always. They try them out. They do all these things. And every once in a while, despite all the testing they do, you all really suck at it.
That was not an easy one. And we did not have Life Fest on, but I was ready to go. I was like, these people are not ready. I'm ready. I just left another show. I'm fine. Like Darrell and I were fine with it because
we learned that, you know, being super skinny is not good in the water.
I know.
Cold so fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't cold to me. It's just how I'm built.
We obviously see that there's ways that people can fail the challenge, but since you helped to create the show, do you have any tips for what it takes to win a challenge?
We'd really like to know, actually. This is just a personal question that
we're not looking too good over here.
Boy, that's a good question. You know, well, first of all, I think you have to be, you know, it depends on the type of challenge it is. If it's a team challenge, you know, you've got to be someone who people want on your team. So you have to have some degree of performance level in the challenges. And I think you've got to be a good team player.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's not always, you never know where the game is quite going. So you don't know if you're going to be on that same team or if something's going to switch up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and that's sort of one of the things that has always been something we've had to work on is you guys get to know the game so quickly and figure out the strategies that we have to sort of shake it up every once in a while because you're two steps ahead of us. And we're like in the sessions where we're trying to figure it up, we're like looking at the challenge and we go, okay, how would I cheat if I was contested? How would I bend the rules? And so we have to be thinking about, okay, if I was doing it, here's how we have to set it up so they can't do that. You know, so there's a lot of that trying to like get ahead of you guys because you guys are also smart and quick at figuring out like shortcuts.
There are a couple people that are really good at it.
Not a bad idea to hire Devin in production and just have him specifically do that.
If Johnny was really good at it too.
I miss Devin's soundbites.
I know. He's so good.
He's incredible.
Yeah. So we have one more question. But Anissa, I think you take this one away because I always ask this final question.
But you love asking the final question.
You ask the final question.
All right. So, John, this is the final question. This season is called Spies, Lies, and Allies. Who is the biggest spy, liar, and ally from this episode? Or of all time? I don't know. It's a big question, but you've seen all of us.
It's a big question. I don't feel fully equipped to answer it, but I will say that there's something about Kyle that just irritates me. So I would put him in spy and liar. I'd give him both.
Wow. We've never had a double whammy here. Whoa. This is a first on the podcast.
Yeah. He's a good villain.
He's a good villain.
But
he's a likable villain.
He's such a good time, though. Yeah. He's so funny that it's hard to, like, hate him, you know?
Well, the best villains are likable.
Yeah.
Maybe I should try
anyway,
that.
Anyway, I don't trust him. So I haven't seen enough, but there's something to me says, be careful.
Well, you're on the right track there.
Okay.
And as far as ally, the most truthful person.
Oh, you know, it's like, I feel like CT's become truthful. Mm. Am I right? Am I wrong?
No, I think
Yeah. He's smart. So it's like he is being honest, but it's like he's also seven steps ahead.
He's most strategic. He's strategic.
He doesn't get caught in lies.
Yeah.
No.
He does. No, he has also a way of forming words into sentences that don't sound like lies.
Right. I think that's just experience where you're just kind of, you know, you say everything but the thing.
Yeah.
Right.
And then the people take the thing that you weren't going to say and they run with it. So you're like, I didn't say anything.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting.
It's very strategic.
But, you know, I still, you know, I love Corey. He's amazing.
Yeah.
He's just like, I love seeing him on the show. I just, when I see him, because he goes pretty far back now.
Yeah.
Corey.
Yeah. Since Bloodlines. Yeah. He said he'd never do a challenge again. And look at him. He's like, I hate it here. This is the worst thing I've ever done. And then he just kept coming back.
It's what we all do.
It does become like slightly addictive. Like,
of course, it's a game. And we want to win
it. It's like summer camp, too. I get so excited to see my friends.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I mean, yeah, you guys are such a VIP club of people. I mean, it's sort of like amazing when you think about how you get to live your life. And you're probably all too young to sort of get into that point where you're realizing you only get one life, but
I'm kind of there. I mean, I may not look it or feel it or act like it, but it definitely crosses my mind of like when I say I've been on TV longer than I haven't been, you know, like,
yeah,
that's crazy. Well, look at you now. You're a big thank you card walking because our entire lives have been here and created because of you, John Murray. Yes. So thank you so much. And thank you so much for coming on the show. Seriously, it means the world to us. And the listeners are going to absolutely love to hear what you have to say. So seriously, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
It has been a total pleasure catching up with you both. Yes. I'm just so happy for you. Thanks. And keep making it happen.
Thank you.
Thank you for creating all of this. You really changed our lives. So thanks.
Yeah. Thank you.
All almost right. Got emotional.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. He said, uh-oh.
Save it for the show. Save it for the show.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
I'm at a loss for words. I mean, I feel like I just talked to... I don't even know what to say. John is amazing. And he's watched us for so long, since the dinosaur age. And it just, having him on is like such an honor, you know?
Yeah.
He's a busy man. He's done a lot of great things. And just thank you again, John Murray, for coming on, blessing us with your presence and, you know, letting us know how this all started.
Yeah.
And for employing us.
What a legend.
What an employer.
What an employer.
What an employer. What a boss.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, Tori, you were there. I wasn't. I need to know some challenge confidential because I know you have it.
Okay. Well, listen, I get a lot of questions about this one in my DMs. And because you can see it on the show, they give us the rules for the game. And then all of a sudden, we're out there playing it. But the truth is... these games are super complicated, and I just want all the fans to know that before we even begin to start this mission, we go to the side and production breaks down all of the rules for us. And then when they do their random pick for which team goes first, they pull it out of a hat. We get to watch this whole thing, and it takes about an hour. So by the time we actually, it takes a long time because we're getting suited up. We're putting on our equipment. Like, from the start of TJ talking to ending to us then getting into the mission, it's about an hour. You don't think so, Anissa?
That's a long time.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, it's a while. Oh, just in general, yeah.
Yeah, just in general, all the time. So I just wanted to let the fans know that if you're watching and you feel like you're not picking up on the rules too quick, don't worry. Us challengers aren't either. They're literally breaking it down for us because some of us would be running around with no idea of what to do. I mean, they're complicated.
And just to add to that, for all that are asking when the sirens go off and how long we have to get ready, not very long, and then times that by how many people you live with.
Yeah.
Even if I didn't have anybody, it's still, even if you live by yourself, I mean, we're already woken up. They give us about an hour, hour 15. By the time we eat breakfast, we then have 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Maybe less sometimes. So I know everyone's been asking that, and I'm sorry that I have not been attentive. But that's the answer.
safe to say it was a crazy episode. I'm telling you right now, the season only is going to get crazier and crazier. It gets very intense. I wish I could tell you more, but you're just going to have to wait and watch because it's going to get crazy.
I'm okay with waiting and then watching.
Yeah.
I'm a big wait and watch girl.
Yeah. Just wait and watch. Just
waiting and watching.
Yeah. Anissa, thank you for doing and co-hosting an episode with me again. As always, I love you. Congratulations on 500 episodes of The Challenge. You've been on every single one. It's incredible.
Oh my God. I would die if I did. I mean, I wouldn't be here to co-host.
Yeah.
No, you would be. I'd be on bed rest. Of course. For life.
Yeah, maybe bed rest. Yeah. Anissa, where can we follow you and how can we support you?
You can follow me on Instagram at Anissa MTV. That's AnEESAMTV. And just, you know, give me virtual hugs. Mm-hmm. Mercury's in retrograde. I need all of the hugs.
Yep.
Tori, where can they find you and support you in all of your things that you're doing?
You guys can follow me at Tori_Deal on Instagram. And honestly, I think in honor of the 500th episode of The Challenge, I think if you guys share this podcast on your story and tag us, we'll repost it and put it on our feed and our pages. And yeah, let's just share the podcast and share things that we feel about The Challenge on social media and talk about it in honor of it being such an epic show. Yes. And make sure that you guys watch new episodes of The Challenge, Spies, Lies, and Allies, every Wednesday night.
And then go behind the scenes with us the next morning on MTV's official Challenge podcast.